Alright, time for another DoNotGog.com video presentation. So, I will be sort of responding to a Modern Mystic video. It's every now and then. He's made a few videos again. I shouldn't watch, but I go ahead and do it. And I end up commenting. And so, it's kind of a pain in the neck commenting, so I might as well get dual use out of it. Because, yes, you have to, construct this argument in as few words as possible and try to make it concise and to make a big point in very few words and all that stuff. So, might as well use it to some purpose. So, he's making one of his standard videos about how this I thing is a problem. We shouldn't identify ourselves as me or I, because that's injecting some notion that I am more than just a brain. So years ago, I kind of jokingly responded him by saying, me brain says, okay? So instead of saying I would say me brain. And try to make it understood that, yes, I know it's my brain that's going to construct whatever it is I'm going to say and that I'm not doing it, whatever the I is. Yes, okay. This brain, this is what it reacts and says, okay? And I know it's a reaction. It's not some kind of action. It's just a cause and effect universe. There's causes that cause me to start being animated and do things. My brain doesn't just do stuff. It reacts. Now, the interesting bit is that something can happen, 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, my brain gets the joke, so to speak, and I start laughing. I didn't get it 10 years ago, but oh yeah, I got it today. So some of the reactions are, they float around in your brain for a very long time before they're put together with something else and cause the do response, do something. All right, anyway. So I said to that argument that somehow this is about not having eyes, just as a matter of clarification, my brain says I have known for decades that I is just a useful synonym for the particular brain structure that controls what this human body does. So it's just an easier way of saying this particular configuration of matter that is capable of doing this, whatever this is, this animated mush. All right, do you think most people listening to these videos don't think their brain is doing their acting, reacting? So I would argue that I think most of the people, the 25 people watching his videos, are all quite aware of that argument. Now, some of them might be wussies, some of them might believe we're all God puppets. But I think they all know that whatever we're doing, it's because brains make it happen. And when the brain cells die, I'm not animated anymore. Okay, I don't get hungry anymore. I don't do a lot of things anymore. All right. And then I just put in constantly changing. So I'm just acting. And the acting is really just reacting. And every minute, every second, configurations are changing, memory locations in my brain are, some of them drop dead, some of them get more strong, all that kind of stuff, emphasized, reinforced, let's say. I get to have a mood because of, some sort of biorhythms. I ate the wrong dinner last night and I'm low-key and depressed, and lots of things happen to change how this thing will react and what it will say and how it will say it. All right. It seems like a lot of mush over semantics. Yes. So it just, so he's made all these videos pooing on some notion of calling ourselves eyes, as if our individual brain isn't really conceptually interesting. And as I understand it now, what he's arguing is that the whole universe is the puppet master, so to speak. And there's no point in talking about the individual brains doing stuff because the whole universe is the cause. ultimately. Now, I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that, okay? You can't escape that anything that forms in the universe, the solar system, it had to come from something. You know, it was built by the universe, you know, events in the universe. So all of us are constructions of previous conditions, but we're not constructions outside a certain limited realm of conditions. So I would argue that, you know, the Jupiter has very little to do with your circumstance or how you behave. And if I, you know, if you put Jupiter in or you took it out of the solar system, it probably isn't going to change whether or not how you feel or what your, you know, sexual orientation is. Anyway, my brain changes with every interaction in the world, okay, with the world. Not unlike a computer algorithm sampling the internet for patterns. So I've spent a whole life experiencing people and things and events and television, the internet, all kinds of different stuff has influenced me, and all of that. I have a net condition based on all of that crap that has happened. The brain knows how to add and subtract what it has sampled and calculate opinions. So I sample the arguments. I recognize that, oh, well, that guy's just a selfish cunt trying to excuse what he's doing. That guy's a blah, 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 blah. You know, and I find motivations. I draw conclusions about the sincerity of people and whether they really give a shit or not give a shit and whether their plan is to liberate the people or whether their plan is to serve mankind. You know, they just want to eat them. You can figure all that out and draw conclusions. That's how an individual learns and matures. Right. So, and you're doing that all the time. So even when you're really old, you may still need some more maturing. You know, you haven't fully cooked everything. The whole thing isn't completely baked because there's an awful lot to bake. There's a lot of conclusions to draw, and for every conclusion drawn, there's a lot of information. You know, there's a lot of trials to have about almost every single thing you call a fact, and even every definition of every word you use. You know, understanding the word completely, you know. If sensibly motivated, a sensibly motivated brain, so that is a brain that has, through these experiences, learned that, you know, information is very good, I should be fair in how I evaluate information, I shouldn't do it based on, you know, I'm going to get candy if I vote this way, or I'm going to lose candy if I vote that way. All that stuff shouldn't be influencing me. I should be just doing the right thing as I understand it. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so anyway, a sensibly motivated brain can get smarter every day. So if you're looking to become a better opiner, okay, then you can understand the ideas of what makes you better, a better constructor of theories, let's say. And you can understand that, yes, information will make me better at it. Okay. Just simple polishing and refinement. So that's what we basically do. We start off with the basic idea that, oh, I don't know, stick with dog dew on it is poopy and you shouldn't play with it. You know, and then you refine that to understand that there's lots of different ways, you know, lots of different sticks with lots of different kinds of dew on them. And you can put them all in the same category of the things not to play with, and then you can have another category of things that are good to play with, that are safe to play with, harmless things versus dangerous things, for example. All right, brains can also be lost in useless eddies and turbulence. So yes, they can get lost in hating and, you know, some silly passion for the Mets to win the World Series or some other kind of silly shit, and they really don't improve doing their theorizing about anything because they're not absorbing any good information or useful information. They're just watching a redundant soap opera done over and over again. It's like they're watching the same play over and over and over again, and they put different actors in it, but it's the same goddamn story. So they don't advance any. People can be saved a lot of algorithm building time. So this is the key point. Like, I wish I existed when I was a kid, so I could watch my videos and I could have learned a whole bunch of stuff really quick. You know, so instead of having to actually experience failure and stupidity and all that kind of crap, I could have just turned the video on and learned all the stuff I have learned, which, oh, that'd be so helpful. If other people like you, tell them. So it's good for philosopher type people, people who have lived a life and spent some time banging into it to give useful insight on how the thing works. And even in this bigger picture philosophy way of explaining, look, don't get lost in thinking you're magical, you know, that you can do things, because you can't do them if the universe doesn't do them first. That is, the electrons and protons have to be pushed the right way for it to happen. And so all of that has to happen because some mechanical structure makes that happen. And all that mechanical structure ends up being what your brain is, how your brain is calculating and modeling the world. So there's structures in your brain that have a relationship to what happens in the world. And that gives you a kind of mechanical world, a pinball machine inside that's, you know, in some ways trying to take the essence out of the real world and get the idea. So you could just say it's like recognizing canine teeth and recognizing, well, they usually don't mean anything good. They're for puncturing holes and things. So canine teeth, scary, bad. Your brain can do this. Okay, it can create this mechanism in here where it sees the big teeth and it says, big teeth, not good. Let's go find something else to do, then play with the thing with big teeth. All right, you are just a brain. But I think the point is missed if you insist there's no you brain. Okay, then, yeah, what's the point? Why are you arguing if you're going to argue this good point that, okay, we're just a mechanical device, okay? We can't do something extra mechanical. We can just do this mechanical movement of electrons, the Chinese, what do you call that mathematical device where you scoot the balls across? Well, anyway, that's all we are. We're just a device for storing information, you know, and the information is in a different form than it is in the reality, you know, where I have three little balls on the side over here. The reality has, you know, three fish or something. But it's just representing the important feature, which is it was three of something. That kind of stuff. But there's no point in saying this isn't an individual brain that's doing individual computing. It's one calculator. And there's a whole bunch of other calculators, and they all can get different formulas for how they calculate. And so they can calculate all kinds of, you know, I can say it's 2 plus 2 is 4, and the idiot over there can say 2 plus 2 is 3. Or the mystic himself, you know, can just miss the boat altogether and say 2 plus 2 is W. sorry, not even close. So, all right, I'll be back. All right, back. So this is going to take a while. Anyway, yeah, I'll get through one comment. All right, so the mystic's response was, okay, effectively, and I mean effectively, there is nothing anyone can do because there is no anyone to do it. So again, he's saying these brains, all right, are do-lessers. They don't control anything. So again, we're back to that word, control. And I'm agreeing that I can't control anything. Okay, brain. This brain doesn't control anything because it's being created, caused to have an effect based on environmental information, internal information, and that's it. It can't go outside of that box, and so it's stuck being controlled by what I've learned, how it's dented this brain, and the dents, like reading Braille or something, you can't rewrite the Braille, okay? It's written Braille. So yes, But that's not the argument. The argument is this is still a container. All right, and this individual container is different than the other containers, and it certainly is a piece of the universe that's doing something very different than, you know, some bug underneath a rock. So there's no point in saying it's not something that you can identify and call it something. All right. There are brains controlled by the universe, so they're controlled by portions of the universe. You know, parts of the universe, and the immediate part, like the part where there's a bear over there, okay, say 100 yards away, and I'm walking down a path, and the fact is that local information, that local circumstance is going to decide that I turn around and walk the other way. The whole universe isn't going to decide. That local circumstance is going to combine with my algorithm that knows bears can cause me some grief and say, well, I don't need to go down this path all that much, so I think I'll find another way around. Now, there was a circumstance where I actually did this, okay, and the fact is I kept walking, all right, because there was another circumstance, which was if I start running, he might chase me, so that's no good. And I do have to get to work, so, you know, I do need to go down the path. I was closer to the bear, and he was coming from the side. And so the idea was going back probably isn't going to be a win, so I'll just pretend I don't see him and hope he pretends he doesn't see me. And that strategy did work, but I didn't like it. All right, anyway, back to his story. Okay. There are brains controlled by the universe because they are the universe. Okay, so again, this argument that somehow, because the universe makes everything, calculators and pens, that calculators are the same as pens. And there's no reason for me to think that's true. You know, the calculator can do things. It has a little screen with little digital numbers it can make. So it can do things this pen can't do. And there's absolutely, in my opinion, I just can't see why you insist that I call calculator pen. I don't have to do that. I don't see any logic to that at all. I think it's really a good idea to identify different things that have different functions. They can do different things. Okay. The universe controls everything. Yeah, okay, there's no argument that my whole point that and I'll say it in another comment, is, you know, that yes, that's exactly what I'm arguing. There's one universe, it's electrons and protons with force bits acting on it. And so, you know, that universe decides. The universe, I can't say anything, I can't do anything until the electrons and protons have some reason to be motivated or pushed into it. So they're forced to do a thing, and when they do their thing, I end up doing this thing. And that's the way it works. But there's no point in saying there's no connection between what the universe is doing and what this thing will do. Because there is a connection. What this thing sees, and what this thing touches, and what this thing smells, and with what else is going on inside internally, how much blood pressure there is, and other bullshit, will decide different actions that this will produce. And that's a fact. This is an interactive piece of the universe, interacting with other pieces of the universe. All right. And yes, the pieces can't act any more than I can act in any free way. But the fact is we will act, okay? And we will act based on the bear is going to act based on what it sees. And if I, put blinders on it and it doesn't see things, then it won't act and it won't react. Those are facts. It will behave differently if I alter some circumstance. Okay. Let's see. Everything or the universe is just uncontrolled, uncontrollable thing. So there's no argument that it isn't all mechanical. And it's all inevitable. And as stated before, the inevitable part is that we can see or read the script, in a sense. So when I see the bear, I can see that the script can say, and the bear trottles over to the Gary brain and starts chomping the fuck out of it and turns it into a bloody pile of shit. And I can see that in the script and say, no, let's not do that action reaction, you know, that cause and effect. Let's change that cause and effect by saying Gary runs the fuck away as fast as he can and has a really wonderful day. Let's do that instead. And that's a fact. We can do that. All right. It's a fact. We can do that. All right. Anything said or done, so this is him talking still, as in all things are, is done by the universe. So again, it's clear he's saying it's done by the universe. Well, so what? How does that change anything about the fact that I have all of these features that can, that do? Okay, it's not about possibilities, but again, it's about just the fact that it will analyze the environment, it will compute, and it will produce actions that are completely dependent on those computations. And those computations can be decades of computational data that will be involved. So decades of information and influence in terms of consolidated into canine teeth dangerous. So I drew the conclusion, K19th, dangerous, look for them, avoid them. Not complicated. All right, there are no effective bits worth talking about. So that's the part where we're all done with a conversation because we know, I know, there's stuff worth talking about. And it's the stuff related to the fact that I could be tortured, and that's really important. I can experience torture. I mean, that's why I'm running from the bear, is because I don't want to experience torture. I've read person eating, being eaten by bear narratives. You know, I remember when I was a kid, there was a Reader Digest condensed version of a guy getting eaten by a bear. You know, and he survived. But it was just horrible. I mean, the fuck, you're reading this, and it was just, you know, the thing's eating his leg, and this is going on, and all this shit's happening. And he's saying, I can't react, I gotta play dead. You know, and he's in intense pain, and it was horrible. God damn. It was really, really horrible, I should say. I think it was the same volume that actually had the Reader's Digest version of Jaws in it. So that was kind of funny. But anyway, doesn't matter. Might have been the week before, can't say for sure. So apparently I did read Reader's Digest. Okay, so, you know, Time Life Books, National Geographic, and Reader's Digest. All right. But anyway, horrible. I mean, it stuck with me my whole life reading that story. So that's one of those bits of information you get. You say, fuck, I don't ever want to be eaten by a bear because, frankly, it won't be over for hours. So the guy was getting eaten for hours. The bear would come back, the bear would go away, the bear would come back. Just horrible. Anyway. All right, so, so he lost some fingers and some bits, but, you know, he did survive. All right, and so he's saying there are no effective bits worth talking about. So this is just the part where I'm saying, no, there's obviously bits in the sense that this brain does create configurations that are, I'm experiencing those configurations, and I know those configurations are crap. Okay, you do not want that configuration because it feels like shit and it's awful and I would pay real money not to do it. Fact. Okay, so you can say they're not worth talking about. I'm saying, yeah, it's really, really, really worth talking about. That's the only thing in the universe. No, it's not worth talking about. Who gives a fuck who made it? Who gives a fuck what it's made of? The only thing that matters is it creates this shit called suffering. Yeah, that's the part to pay attention to, fuckers. The rest of it, what Kelly did, you should be all this little poofy shit, who fucking cares? Alright. The universe will speak, act through us. Okay, so, yeah, well, I agree. And the universe, okay, it's basically saying, okay, I made a brain, it can say ow, 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 this sucks, this really hurts. And then it can say, fuck you, universe. Okay. But that is purely its business. So that's kind of the silly part, that the universe is doing any of this thinking part, because it's not. We're doing it. The universe is dumb as a stick. We, because we're doing this compiling of the stuff that's happening in the universe and chronicalizing what happened in the universe, we are the smart bits. So it's just silly to say the universe has the knowledge when, no, the knowledge is in its, you know, its big toe. It isn't really, without me, this brain doing it, the universe would have no knowledge of it. Now, yes, the universe is my consciousness, but the universe is also your stupid consciousness, and it's also the other guy over there's consciousness. So obviously, whatever the universe knows, it knows it in so many broken pieces, in contradictory pieces, right? So what good does it do the universe? It has 4 billion calculators, and the calculators say, it's 17. No, it's 16.7. No, it's, you know, they all have a different fucking number. So the universe can't be very intelligent because all of the calculators are saying the measurement is a different measurement. None of them can measure reliably. All right. And the universe certainly can't tell which one is smarter. You know, which brain it should stay living as. You know, which one it should hold close to its ear and listen to. So, it, you know, it's just, the point is that there's no argument here that we are anything more than a calculating device, okay? And that you have to educate the calculating device to know how to calculate. And that's it. So there's no magic in any of it, but there certainly is a truth that the calculator isn't a pen. The brain is a different machine and has different functions. And one of the functions is it can calculate. And that shouldn't be a stretch. All right, back to me again. Okay, effectively, oops, no, that's it. All right, I will assume you accept the universe changes over time and that the change can have elements that are evolving. So it just seems obvious that there's pieces that get older and older in some sort of way, okay, that's possible that they age and go through cycles and blah, 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 blah. And so clearly evolution is a thing, okay? And we're doing it on sort of this really maximum scale of, you know, because of the DNA molecule, competing with itself in this closed system. So as long as the system exists, that is the Earth with an environment that is in any way that can keep a DNA molecule alive, viable, chemically active, it'll continue to do that. All right, anyway, changing in a specific direction. Like evolution creating a better eyesight. So you can just understand it started with just seeing a few photons, and it developed through this process of evolution into something that could see great detail. And became a very well-engineered machine in itself. So your eyes, like your brain, or like your liver, or like your kidneys, is a well-developed little machine, and it has a specific task, and it's been well-developed for performing the task. I think it would be cheating to say that the universe created eyesight when we know the universe had to create the DNA molecule first, and the DNA molecule made eyesight possible. So it's only through this process of evolution that you can do the kind of refining that's required to perfect an eye. Okay, it's not going to happen through some other process except some evolutionary process where there's this constant feedback, and the changes can constantly create improvements, and you constantly kill the things that don't improve. All right, I've argued on my physics channel that the only real universe just contains electrons and protons and the discrete bits of force that push them about, obeying very simple rules. And yeah, I basically proved it too. So that's the real universe. The real universe is electrons and protons. That really should be understood as a philosophical premise. And it has to do everything we do long before we do it. So, you know, it's a trillions and trillions and trillions of these little tiny things, had these little events have to happen before we make a big event happen. And, you know, we're moving in this insanely slow soup of consciousness, and the universe is doing trillions and trillions of interactions every millisecond. All right, it's a fact that the simple rudimentary universe of immense density has in fact created immense complexity. So it's just a fact that that simple electron-proton force interaction, those simple checkerboard, has in fact, because it is so dense, created clumps of order and clumps of arrangement. And because of the DNA molecule and evolution, those swirls are really swirling into a filter. They're forcing things to look more and more a certain way. They're filtering the universe in certain locations and perfecting it and cleansing it and making it more and more pure, you could argue. Something like, okay, the Earth's geology does that, you know, when it's molten, certain elements are free to fall to us from their buoyancy to a density level, and that's why you have veins of gold and veins of silver, okay, in the form of animal life forms. There is no claim that any magic was involved, nor is there any claim that animal life forms can escape what the arrangement of electrons and protons will cause. So we're stuck just being a swirly bit in a universe. The universe is the swirly bit. The universe causes the swirly bit. You can definitely say those things, but it would be wrong to say the swirly bit is the same as all the other clumps of universe. That has the same properties, it has the same functions, it has the same durability. No, it's not the same. It has functions that are uniquely different. Okay, you seem to be arguing that any complexity that arises can have no interesting features. So clearly this brain thing, 100 billion neurons, has created the interesting feature that we, brains, have created this thing, conscious thing, this idea of being alive, this feeling of being alive, let's just call it that, and stuck it in a theater of its creation. I mean, it sees the world, but it gives us a view of it that's not exactly the world. All right, we don't see in the three dimensions. We see through a pupil. We see a particular kind of view. We don't see it in its true holographic, you know, straight line force way. We don't have a big giant eyeball and see things as they are. We see things only as you can see them from the point of view of a pupil. All right. Likewise, we only hear certain stuff. We only see certain kinds of radiation. So there's all kinds of limitations to what our brain can manufacture as a model of the reality. But that's what the part that is sensing is living in, is a world of senses that's artificial, but it needs to correlate to reality or we wouldn't be able to function. I need to accurately see trees, and I need to accurately calculate that I can't walk through trees. No properties or functions in any significant way different from a hammer hitting a nail. So clearly that's his proposition, is that there's no significant difference between, you know, some sort of geyser shooting off every hour, some sort of organized bit of the universe, and a human brain. And it's like, bullshit. They're not the same thing. Yeah, they both have order, they both have complexity. Not the same thing. All right. My brain claims that my brain does manifest functions like sensation. It's just a fact. I'm experiencing them, so there's no point in telling me I'm not having sensations. There's just no point in that argument, because I'm personally experiencing it. So there's no way I can deny the existence of them. I'd like to be able to say I don't feel, but I do. And it's a real problem, because I feel qualitatively differently. I feel bad and I feel good. And I can feel the difference between the two. And it's a fact, I feel the difference. All right, now maybe the universe swirling, the electrons and protons, maybe they're not doing anything spectacularly different. You know, a good feeling is clockwise and a bad feeling is counterclockwise. You know, it doesn't look like there should be any big difference, but it's a big fucking difference. Okay, the sensations that make it distinctly different from either the hammer or the nail. So clearly my brain is not a hammer and it's not a nail. It's a brain, and it's doing this very complex thing, and as soon as you turn the blood pressure off, all of a sudden it's not doing any of that anymore. None of that's going on anymore. So it's a really subtle function. It's not elemental. It's very complicated, and it requires a whole bunch of complicated things to be happening. A bunch of organs in my brain. They all just like livers and kidneys and... There's a bunch of organs in my brain, and they all have to be doing their thing, or the thing don't work. The illusion, the projection, isn't created on the screen that we view. All right, if I can put it that way. All right, his glib response to that was, the universe creates brains that say they feel like they control things. So nowhere in my comments was I talking about controlling anything. Or feeling like you control anything, and I couldn't care less if something feels like it controls something. I just like the idea that you get the truth, so you don't control anything, you are controlled, and you're controlled by what you've learned, your experience. Those would be honest statements, but yes, I'm not saying that this idea that we feel like we control anything, what we feel like is that we're in an active, participatory adventure. There's no way we can avoid not feeling interactive, that something's going to happen. Something happened a second ago, something's happening nowish, and then a little bit later something else is going to happen, and I'm going to be here for all of those events. Okay. Or to put it in a more modern way, the universe creates lying little shits. So what's the point? I agree, we can't control spontaneously. There's no spontaneous generation of a controlling action. It has to be a byproduct of script reading. And the point is that we can cheat and we can read ahead in the script and see Gary eaten by bear and say, oh wait, I don't want to do that part. So let's change the script from here to there. Let's change something so we can change that part. And that's all we're doing. So it's inevitable that we change the script. But the point is you need to change the script for the script to be changed. Oh, damn it. You need to rewrite it. All right, we have to do the rewrite. And then act on the rewrite. Okay. Yeah, that seems reasonable. All right, should be back. So these videos were called I know kind of thing. Oh, just as a reference, they probably won't last very long, but there really wasn't anything new in them. There was just a lot of there is no I kind of conversation. And again, I'll concede there's no I in your brain. There's just your brain manufacturing your I-ness. Okay? So the brain makes you, whatever the you thingy is. And it's just a bunch of behaviors, just a bunch of actions and reactions that some of them you only feel, and some of them you can talk about, and some of them you can express, but that's all that's really happening. So I can sort of explain what happens inside of me. I can sort of explain what I see when I look at the world. I'm never going to explain it perfectly, and that's the best I can do, this brain can do. So when I say I, it's just my brain doing its best it can to respond to what it feels and what it sees and hears and such. All right, so anyway, I say, I never uttered the words, I feel like an I. So to me, the consciousness thing isn't about feeling like an I, that there's a me inside of me. To me, it was always about, well, I have sensations. That's the thing that bothers me. You know, those are the things that scare the hell out of me, are the fact that I can feel things that are very unpleasant and, kill me kind of bad. And that's what bothers me, is that I have that problem of having sensations that absolutely suck, and that I know other people have those sensations that absolutely suck. And that's what, it terrifies me. I find it unacceptable to have to live under these terms of being subject to, at any moment, being put in a condition that would be highly and or insanely unpleasant. Yeah, so that's what I'm explaining when I talk about this value thing and the idea that, wow, we should really pay attention to this, because we can have a lot of that torturous unpleasantness, or we can have very little of it. And it just depends on how gluttonous we are for some kind of fun, described as playing with your kids or some sort of something like that. So if you don't really have to have the playing with your kids thing, you could save the existence of a bunch of grief, because your kids are going to have grief. Okay. Seems sensible enough. All right. I've said things like, me brain says. So that's what I started saying to him, because he was so focused on this I thing that I would just say, okay, can I call it me brain? All right. And then we'll get rid of the I, and I'll just say, my brain says. All right. You seem to just gloss over the fact that we live, that a live brain can manifest functions. All right. You seem to just gloss over the fact that our live brain can manifest the function of a feeling, just as it can manifest the solution to 2 plus 2. So our brain can think things, 2 plus 2, or it can feel things, Okay. Brains can do things other clumps of the universe can't, so it's kind of important to recognize that the only way suffering can exist is brains have to exist to make it. So obviously, if you don't make brains, you don't make suffering. There, not too complicated. No point in not recognizing that a hurricane is a different manifestation of the universe than a cloudless sky. So seems kind of obvious, right? It's all the universe, but there is a difference between a hurricane and a cloudless sky. And for brains like ours that can see patterns, we can recognize that if we can run our computer model, and we can see that in 3 days the hurricane will get to my house and it'll be 4 times as intense and all of this stuff, then I can react one day, okay, to something that's going to happen today, to something that's going to happen 4 days from now. So clearly my actions it'd be perfectly rational for my brain to initiate actions that reflect the fact that it sees that if it reads the dumbass script, I'm not going to pay no attention, or it can read the sensible script that says I better pay attention and do something and change the outcome for me. In the sense that, if I have a bunch of wings tied to flying knives out in the backyard, that maybe I'll bring those inside. Anyway, it's not a lie to name a hurricane, nor is it a lie to name a brain. So again, it's really no big deal for us to label ourselves as eyes and to label other people as things, as people. Not a big crime, because we're all distinct and we're all different, and we can't identify the different kinds, and we could even identify them as dumb and smart, or educated and uneducated. We could label them, and it's no crime to do that. It's perfectly sensible to do that, frankly. They happen as individual events and are distinctly different. So just like hurricanes are different, every single one of them is coming from a different angle and has a different intensity and different temperatures. So do we. Okay, and so there's no reason for us to think every human's the same and it's going to behave the same, or it needs the same, or it wants the same, or any of that crap. And so no harm in making distinctions. No harm in recognizing the local causes and the local effects. So yes, even though the whole universe, you know, in many little tiny indirect ways created the hurricane, clearly we could isolate the things more approximate to being the cause of the hurricane, and those events are things we could see in terms of you know, cloud formations and weather systems. All right. And certainly no harm in recognizing the patterns that directly precede the happening of a hurricane. So I was just sort of making the point, it would make sense for us to recognize that we can see it when it's a little baby, okay, as a tropical storm, and we can watch it and see whether it has the possibility of becoming a menace. If there were no human brains on Earth, there would still be a lot of carbon stuck deep underground. So just the fact that human brains have changed the script that the Earth would be writing if humans didn't show up. Okay, so if humans didn't show up, no species on Earth was going to dig all the oil and carbon, coal out of the ground and put that carbon in back in the environment as a cycling substance, CO2, and the Earth would be colder right now, just a fact. And the average temperature would be lower. Brains can be seen as the most proximate cause for the carbon liberation. I mean, there's certainly a cause that was essential. So without the brain existing, there would be no release of the carbon. The Earth would get colder and colder because the carbon would keep getting sunk deeper and deeper, so to speak. Saying that isn't in contradiction to understanding that the universe caused the brains to exist. So again, the fact that the universe ultimately causes everything, we can certainly understand that local, in time and distance, events are more proximate to the cause. To get more directly to the point, who cares what caused there to be consciousness? So it's interesting. Oh, it'd be nice to know everything in the universe, but this isn't a big one. Okay. The fact that it exists, that's the one that's important. The who, the what, not so important. I suppose it's important to recognize that it wasn't Jimmy, the real name of God or something, you know, some thing, some other brain did it, you know. And I suppose if there was some idea that he lived on an island somewhere, we could go blow the island up, you know, that might be interesting to know, but it's not a Bond character or something. So if you can't do anything to stop it, then who cares what it was? Or if you can't kick it in the nuts. Who cares what things that have consciousness call themselves? So who cares what we as consciousness, we go around calling myself a me or an I or a Garrett? Who cares? It doesn't matter what we call ourselves. It's not really, really important. It's what we think the agenda is. That's important. And if you think the agenda is, let's, you know, big up this theory that a, you know, sky daddy made everything happen, well, then you're really a jackass and a shithead. And if you're in some way pretending we're magically endowed with consciousness and it comes from the, you know, some sparkly angels or something, well, yeah, then you're a menace to reason and the truth, because that shit isn't going to have anything to do with anything. All right. My concern is a brain sampling consciousness. So this is the key sentence. My concern as a brain sampling consciousness is that consciousness can manifest torment and torture. And from a personal experience, I know that must be minimized. So I can figure out the fact that it's not a single player game. I can certainly figure out for this player, I ain't coming back. I don't want to do this over again. This is just a huge waste of goddamn, universing. It's a waste of universing to redundantly go through this process of being hatched, being horny and desperate, pursuing pointless desire for a gratification that won't last nor mean anything, just to be horribly killed in the end. No, I don't want to play that game ever again. Really dumb game to play. Okay, so it's not that complicated. All right, so his response to that written version was, you are a brain sampling consciousness, are you? ? And he says, that's magic. So even just saying the fact that the brain manifests consciousness, whatever the brain is, it's experiencing the consciousness. I'm experiencing it. This vessel has internal feelings. You can't feel them. I can, I'm the only one feeling them. So clearly it's manifested in this brain. And I'm just, I'm just honestly testifying to the fact that, yes, I'm sampling what it is to be conscious. I believe I fit the definition of a conscious organism. That's not a magical statement. That's just the truth. Okay. Are you speaking on behalf of the brain, I guess? You are speaking on behalf of the brain, I guess. Well, I don't think it's a really hard stretch of a guess, right? I mean, we already know the brain is the only part that's doing this whole thing. So everything the brain says and everything comes out of my mouth is what the brain did. I didn't do any of it, whatever the I would be. And I'm just pointing out that the brain is experiencing. So whatever experience is, it's creating it. It's doing it. This has it. Whatever this is, brain, it has consciousness. And so he says, that's magic again. So there's no magic involved. Get your cart and horse sorted round right way, and we may talk again. So, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now we can go to the actual video he made that is remarkably useless. I just marvel at, how things can deteriorate and, there's just not much you can do on this plant with these people. You just can't talk to people. They're just so stuck in shit. So anyway, I'll be back. Alright, should be back. So, leave us play the video. Put it where I can see it. And such.
See the screen. Do this inside so I can read Gary Mendham's comment.
All right, so he's doing it from inside. So the other videos, frankly, were at least a pleasanter environment. So this one came out in this dark, less than nicer environment. All right, let me turn the volume up a little. I think it might be a little too low. So let me make sure we can hear all the crap.
Gary with 2 R's has just said, I don't understand. Which is fine, okay, Gary.
All right, so that's the other Gary. So there's another Gary called Gary Entropy, who's a bit of a wooey guy, a little life is fun and wonderful kind of person. And so I don't have much use for that either. Unfortunately, he's got, all these people, cancer and, tough. And, but he's doing the stoic thing, and it's all stoic. I'm so brave and wonderful, and I'm so want to just puke on his head. But anyway, leave us do this.
So, the other Gary Mendham is struggling like the other Gary, getting the cart before the horse. This is Sickening by Gary and Mendham.
All right, so this video, he's just going to talk about how sickening it is that somebody would talk about suffering. That's what's sickening him. And it's funny because, yes, it sickens me when people minimize suffering. That sickens me and wants me to puke, you know, on their head because I'm sickened by it. I just want to puke on them. It's disgusting, people who trivialize pain and suffering. I don't know how any sensible person does that. I just can't imagine a person. I mean, you know, I suppose you have to have some history with some, you know, mental disorder, you know, makes you a little bit DDHT or some kind of crap, you know, where you have some compulsive order disorder, or you're a little bit superstitious. It's just the kind of thing where it's almost like if you went to court and you had to swear on your mother's health, you know, like whether your mother gets cancer. And some liar could actually do that, and, you know, even though they know, okay, it's not going to matter. My mother's not going to get cancer because I'm going to lie, and I swear on her health, and I'm going to lie. And so, you know, it doesn't matter, but it matters. It should matter to your mother that you are willing to lie with the stakes being her getting cancer, you know, that kind of thing. So for some people, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, fine. But still, it's disgusting that somebody would mock suffering. I mean, you're just saying how fucking... I mean, can you go lower? I mean, yes, you could actually be a serial killer and, you know, torture and rape and kill girls and stuff. I mean, you could go a little tiny bit lower. You know, but you've already got the philosophical... You have all the philosophical tools to be... an insane murderer. And I guess all we're saying is well, good news. The good news is he's not horny to rape a 10-year-old. So, the 10-year-olds are safe. But that's the reason why they're safe, is because he's not horny to do it. Where, in my case, if I was horny to do it, I'd still be, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't be a horrible murderer. What a terrible, awful thing to do. Torture kids for my gratification? Oh, that's disgusting. I can't do that. It just is amazing.
So, there's a brain over in America that calls itself Gary and Mendham, that now, I don't know what it's been watching on the television, but it's...
Alright, so just somehow this has to do with America and liberalism. When, you know, obviously for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been very disappointed with liberalism, the puro open border crap, all of that shit, the fact that they lost the whole agenda, you know, they're completely distracted by absolute nonsense issues that really are, you know, I'm not saying anybody should, again, it's there's nothing wrong with paying attention to almost every defect a human can have, but you can't waste time on people who have crooked toenails in a world where you know, so much is at stake and so many people are in jeopardy. It's, you know, real jeopardy. It's just too ridiculous.
It's come to this. See, the brain, it's not Gary and Mendham. There's no Gary and Mendham.
So it's just kind of stupid to say there's no Gary and Mendham. I mean, why bother saying it? I mean, it's clearly an egg that hatched, so to speak, and it's clearly spent all this time doing all this crap, and, you know, silly to say.
Brain, somewhere in America, somewhere outside of Mendham, that's saying it's Gary and saying things like this.
I don't even say it's Gary. I mean, I'm not too thrilled with the name anyway. I'd like to be called, you know, Vigo or Zorro or something. But whatever. I'm a Gary. Okay. Whatever. I just don't... How could this be... Why is this a problem for you that we give something a name? What is the point of not giving things... You want to give me a number? I'm number 36487, you know. 0038687, something like that. I could be that.
My concern, I'll do it in a girly voice because it's girly shit.
So, you know, this is, what is all of this? So, you know, it's just, I mean, I'm just sitting here saying, this is crazy. You know, this is his definition of being too girly, is acknowledging the fact that there's suffering in the world and we shouldn't waste it. Oh, fuck. How silly. That's like worrying about, you know, how long your skirt is and whether you look fat in this dress. It's girly.
My concern as a brain sampling consciousness is that consciousness can manifest torment and torture. And from personal experience, I know that that must be minimized.
What? So he's mocking the simple statement that, as far as I do, when I look at the universe, the only thing that matters is not all this crap on my desk, okay? The coffee cup, no, it don't matter. You know, the computer screen, no, I don't got to worry about it. And the stuff that matters are, you know, the critters with a brain and the human beings with a brain that are going to have experiences, and some of those experiences are going to be absolutely horrible. And the point is that a big pile of those horrible experiences can be avoided by just not doing stupid things.
What have you been watching on the television, Gary? The View?
No, I haven't watched The View. Okay, so, you know, I haven't in any way argued in defense of those views. Okay, and you know from our history that the only thing I ever argued about were things like inheritance isn't earning it. Okay, it's not the road to creating greater and greater efficiency because people don't inherit, okay, the skills that manufacture fortunes.
My concern is a brain sampling consciousness. I mean, that's just straight out of it. My concern as a black lesbian one-legged
foreigner, you should say.
Fuck off.
Yeah, so again, where does this all come from, right? But anyway, so that's the perspective. So this was enlightening in a couple of ways, just because I didn't think he was, you know, a Trumper, but, you know, apparently, you know, he's that dumb. And again, you know, most people understand the nature of liberal politics, understand that for the whole history of the Liberal Party, at least since Roosevelt, that the mission has been to increase fairness and decrease exploitation. You know, make laws so you don't, you know, break a kid's back before he's 13 years old and all of that kind of crap. So this idea of social justice did mean something better than we have to go spend $1 trillion to straighten somebody's crooked toes. You know, that's, so the agenda got totally lost, okay, somewhere in the last decade. And, yeah, so the Liberal Party ain't what it was, and it's basically homesick. And, you know, maybe it'll survive, maybe it's a fatal disease it has, because the welfare whores took it over. And so now it's owned by a bunch of people who don't want fairness, they just want to steal all the money. You know, maybe that's all there is now. All right. So they're not freedom fighters anymore. You know, they're just greed fighters who are poor and want to get rich. So they're the same people who are rich. They're just the poor version. All right. So enough of that. I'll read his comment. Okay. Well, I'll read my response to his comment, to that pile of shit. Okay, the sick feeling is entirely mutual, as I am in a girly manner afraid of sick feelings. So I obviously don't like feeling sick. I don't find this I don't find it fun to be absolutely revolted, okay, by the system, the crooks, the thieves, all of the shit, and then you talking this absolute nonsense that you can't figure out what a suffering is. you know you hate eyes and you somehow can't see suffering. It's invisible to you. Yeah, that's a little sickening. Okay. I'd like to find a way to fix that. Okay. So, my theory of how logic works kind of compels me to find an answer to why we draw such different conclusions. It really shouldn't be this. It shouldn't even be a possibility to be disagreeing about this shit. The fact that brains manifest sensations that are either good or bad, categorically. I mean, they're pleasant or unpleasant. They're do it again or don't do it again, ever. The fact that they come in that variety seems so undeniable. I'm just shocked that somebody would deny it. All right. And then the fact that you're mocking it, you know, torture. He's mocking it. Okay. If we were the only two brains in the universe and we were discussing how the rest of the dead universe works, I don't think we could make each other sick. So, yes, if there was less at stake in terms of this suffering thing, I mean, I can't be that revolted. Okay, so if somebody's mocking my eye color or hairstyle or something, okay, who cares? We're not going to get upset about that. They're mocking that trees are silly. Okay, fine. You know, I'm not going to worry that you've insulted trees. But to diminish and trivialize what people have endured, ooh, especially like on battlefields, that's just something worthy of a bit of a puke. Okay, I don't think any disagreement we had about whether its particles are waves could be very disturbing. Now, that sentence I probably shouldn't have written, just because I do find it disturbing that intelligent people fall for absolute stupid shit. But really, yes, it's not as bad as, okay, how bad I feel when they mock suffering. Yeah, mocking suffering really bothers me. All right. And frankly, if we had forever to argue the evidence, I don't think we could disagree about anything. It seems the subject that's wrecking the fun is discussing the existence of clumps of matter capable of manufacturing the projection of a sensation that can be described as some kind of version of pleasant and unpleasant or good and bad. So it's this part, the claim that these machines exist that create these sensations, and that the sensations are in fact categorically good and bad, and that you can say something reasonable like good, good, bad, bad. Yeah, so let's have more good, less bad, and be a perfectly reasonable calculator. That's a reasonable way to calculate, is to say yes to the up number and no to the bad number. All right, you seem to be saying it disgusts you that some other brain could believe those feelings have any real significance. So that's basically what he's saying. It's just matter mattering, therefore it can't mean anything. So even though we have these complex feelings, we're really just, you might as well just see me as a hammer hitting a nail, you know. Or you might as well see me as a paramecium. So even though I have a giant brain with 100 billion neurons, you might as well just throw the brain out. Just make me into a paramecium going blah, 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 and say that's all I am. And it's just not true. Okay, that's not this machine. Okay, I'm not a cloudy day. I'm a hurricane. Okay, I have the brain. I have the right to be called a hurricane. All right. And I am apparently one of those brains that is disgusted by the implication that those feelings aren't the only significant thing happening in the universe. So he's a brain disgusted by brains that are have any kind of sympathetic notion of reality, where they are any kind of empathetic, where they calculate the price paid and they don't think it should be paid and it's too expensive and all of that crap. He's disgusted if somebody wastes time thinking suffering needs to be fixed, okay? And I'm the kind that think, if you think, you know, it'd be better for us to make a giant banner as big as the United States saying, I hope the Mets win the World Series. instead of, say, feeding hungry people. You know, some kind of notion like that. You know, it's just that sick and bizarre, you know, that he's thinking that anyone wasting effort on mitigating against wasted conscious experience that is wasted on suffering or torment or torture, wasting time being something in torment or torture. Yeah, that disgusts him. And I'm obviously disgusted by the opposite for people who couldn't give a shit how much torture they create, how much torture there is. It, you know, it's meaningless. And the only thing that's important is just rolling the ball, whatever the ball is. All right. So I'll read that sentence again just because it's sort of important. And I am apparently one of those brains that is disgusted by any implication that those feelings aren't the only significant thing happening in the universe. So really, the whole universe can't be you can't give a care without those brains in it. Without brains, nothing could happen in the universe that could mean a damn thing. And with them, there's meaning bleeding all over the place. Okay. It seems we both find it impossible to logically understand each other's position. There might be stranger things happening in the world right now, but this circumstance is pretty fucked up. So that's, I couldn't solve the problem. And, you know, so I can just acknowledge that, you know, I didn't see this coming. You know, that you intelligent people can't figure out what a feeling is. Acknowledge the fact that they exist, that conscious organisms do them, and that they're obviously coming different varieties of good and bad, nice and horrible, that kind of stuff. Positive and negative. Okay. I didn't think that would be a challenging project. If it was my project to see that everybody fully understood that conscious organisms have sensations and the sensations come in come with a cavern of difference between their qualitative value. I didn't think that would have to be an argument, frankly. So my brain hasn't anticipated the full-blown idiocracy, and this is what he is an example of, is full-blown idiocracy. Even things that appear to be literate and old enough to know better are dumber than a stick. You know, but at least a stick hasn't made these mistakes. As a calculator, the stick has a better record because it can't make egregious mistakes in calculating. And obviously this calculator is a hunk of shit. Okay. So he just keeps doing the same thing through the whole video. He's just doing the girly voice, but adds no value to explaining why this is a mistake, and he just implies that it's because of liberalism did it. See, I'm such a screaming, horrible liberal that's why I care about suffering. When I did it, every moment of my existence, I was very concerned about not feeling like shit. So it just doesn't make any sense. All right. So I guess I'll leave this as a video. And so I'm going to do another one. He had linked to some, scientist talking about consciousness. So I figured, let's play one of these videos where they talk on the internet about what consciousness is, because that ought to be pretty funny. And so we'll see how that goes. So it'd be like the Spogalski guy, and so it's probably going to involve a little free will and some other crapola, but they really just aren't getting it. There's nothing going on here. We're just all jerking off to different things, and it's really expensive jerking off. Okay, that's all there is to say here. Okay, is that you're paying a very high price for a very poor product. Your little superficial victories will not be worth all the little kids in wheelchairs kind of thing. It just won't. The joy ride is going to, you know, it's all going to take place in a sea of blood. All right. So anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. But really, you know, there is, you know, it really should be resolvable. There should be some way to resolve what happened. What is the thing that makes this impossible to build a bridge between these positions and understand how they're possible to have them? How we could both look at something so obviously black and white and have the white and the black reversed? How is that possible? All right. So, till the next time and such and so forth. God damn it.